You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Wednesday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. If you're just joining us, consider yourself lucky. You missed the Thanksgiving sports-related names by Todd. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Say good morning to our TV partner, Peacock, and also our great radio affiliates around the country. If you're looking for a great holiday gift, look no further than shop.danpatrick.com. We got T-shirts there, 40% off T-shirts, 30% off everything else. Calendars on there as well, shop.danpatrick.com. And make sure you order in time for the holidays. Sunday night, you got Chiefs and Buccaneers. And it might have the easiest pregame story to write for the entire season. The passing of the torch for Tom Brady to Patrick Mahomes seems obvious. Brady's the GOAT, and Mahomes feels like he's the heir apparent, which is kind of interesting because they're very, very different. Brady, your classic drop-back quarterback. Mahomes can drop back, but he can do everything else. And Brady beat Mahomes back in the 2018 AFC title game, went on to win the Super Bowl with the Patriots that year. Mahomes getting his first ring with the Chiefs the following season, and now it's a critical game. And it's critical for both because the Steelers are undefeated. You want to get that number one seed overall. And here's Tampa with some question marks, certainly coming off the home loss against the Rams. Got a long way to go, but at least there's a chance this could be a Super Bowl preview. The NFL would love that. Mahomes and Brady, well, they'll be ending up as two of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. That would be an easy storyline to sell, not only for the Super Bowl, but especially this Sunday night. Here is Michael Irvin, the NFL Network analyst, on Patrick Mahomes.
I consider Patrick to be the Steph Curry of the NFL, somebody that's going to take this thing to the next level. Steph Curry took three-point shooting to the next level. In a sense, Pat Mahomes is doing some of that in the world of the NFL.
And I think it's an interesting comparison there by Michael Irvin. That was on 95.7, the game in San Francisco. Because Mahomes is doing it differently. Just like Steph Curry did it differently. There were players who shot the three-pointer. They didn't have the same flair that Steph Curry did. Mahomes has flair. Everything he does, it feels like there's flair. When you watch him play, there's total confidence in what he's going to do or how he's going to do it, or he'll somehow find a way to do it. And not that we have that same confidence in Steph Curry, but there was this, oh my gosh, I have to tune in to watch because I haven't seen this before. We haven't seen Patrick Mahomes before. We haven't seen Steph Curry before. These are the anomalies. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not going to spawn a lot of impersonators, because we've seen that with Steph Curry. And I still maintain that Steph Curry's impact on the game is far greater than Michael Jordan's from this standpoint. Everybody, you know, says, oh, be like Mike. We can't be like Mike. But there's something inside all of us that says we could do what Steph Curry does. You know, he doesn't jump out of the gym. He's not overly big. Quick, he just has a great handle and an unbelievable ability to find his shot. Now, he does other things there. I always go back and remember, if you look at his draft profile, who's he going to guard? And I always wonder, do they ever say, who's going to guard him? Because it goes back to, you talk yourself out of somebody because you go, oh, look at the negative. I don't think he can guard anybody. Now, granted, Steph Curry doesn't guard very well. But does he make up for it at the other end? And the answer is yes. If you have 20, he's got 34. That would be advantage Steph Curry. It's the same with Steve Nash. If you've ever been around Steve Nash in person, you immediately go, "There, how does he do it? There's no way it's possible for somebody that size to do what he does on the basketball floor." But he couldn't guard anybody. When he's coming out of Santa Clara, yeah, but who's he going to guard? Okay, probably nobody. Who's guarding him? And odds are at the end of the game, his numbers are better than your numbers. With Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if you can have somebody who can come in and be like that, but you're going to find people. You know, Brett Favre was Patrick Mahomes before Patrick Mahomes. Now, the problem was he made more mistakes. He forced things a little bit more. And when I watched Patrick Mahomes when he was in college at Texas Tech, I thought he was trying to be Brett Favre. I thought that he was trying for degree of difficulty. It felt like he was in the backyard. And in the backyard, when a, you know, the play or the pattern breaks down and then you start pointing guys, that's what I felt like when I was watching Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers even said this recently. Brett Favre used to do those no-look passes. Mahomes, to me, is a better version of Brett Favre. He's a smarter, under control, less risk, less downside with Brett Favre. And Favre's obviously one of the greats of all time. But Favre was doing a lot of these things that Patrick Mahomes is doing now. It's just Mahomes is doing it better. There have been players. Ray Allen was a great three-point shooter. Steph Curry took it and then took it to another level. Reggie Miller, great three-point shooter. Steph Curry took it and took it to the next level. Yeah, Paul.
Mahomes is on pace for 41 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Basically, no downside.
Yeah. And we take it for granted. You know, in that regard, he's more like Michael Jordan. That it took, like, it's amazing. It took him, what, 3 years? 3 years to be taken for granted? Like, that's remarkable. Jordan, we took for granted, but it took a decade. I think Mike might have been 30 when we started to go, oh, okay, yeah, Mike had another great year. Yeah, Bulls are probably going to win it. Let's give the MVP to Barkley, Karl Malone. Patrick Mahomes is 25, and we're taking him for granted. Yeah, McLovin.
You're right. It's unbelievable. We were watching him the other day. It was up on the screen here, and he does a play that no other quarterback's ever made, and we don't even comment anymore.
Yeah. There's just this feeling of him, and then there's everybody else. And I still maintain Aaron Rodgers, who's going to join us in a little bit. When he's great, I think that he makes it easier than anybody I've ever seen. And that includes Mahomes. Any quarterback who's ever played the position, I felt like Aaron Rodgers, when he did it in his way at a high level, made it look easier than anybody I've ever seen. Yeah, Seton.
I would love to be taken for granted, though, to the tune of $500 million. Like, you know what? Nobody respects me. Nobody respects me.
Well, the Chiefs respect you, but, you know, it's the critics around the, you know, the, yeah, the analysts or the writers.
I wish I got a little more love on sports talk radio. Anywho.
Yeah, Paul.
I love that in about 3 years, 4 years from now, Mahomes will be 29 years old, and he'll probably be, what, Andrew, about the 10th highest paid quarterback in the league?
Probably. He didn't get the most money. He said he took 10% less or something.
Well, he wanted Chris Jones to get paid. But Patrick Mahomes is going to be a bargain for the Kansas City Chiefs. In 5 years from now, when we look back on that contract, assuming Mahomes is healthy, we're going to say the Kansas City Chiefs got a bargain. And the Chiefs knew they got a bargain. Know they got a bargain. But when you win, that's when you get the endorsements. And Patrick Mahomes, as long as he keeps winning, he's going to have State Farm the next 5 years. He'll have a ketchup commercial as well. I mean, he's going to get these endorsements, but it helps. Jordan understood this. When you win, then it's different. I can be unbelievable. I can be the highlight reel. But then everybody else goes and plays in the playoffs. The playoffs is where everybody watches, where legacies are formed. I mean, LeBron James. LeBron can be the best player in the game, but until he started winning, then it's different. And I think that's, you know, with Patrick Mahomes, there's a lot of talented quarterbacks, but you have to win. Yes, McLovin.
Isn't it more interesting for Sports Talk Radio to talk about the guys who are good but struggling a little bit? Like, I hate to say it, Lamar Jackson and Carson Wentz. Yeah. And yep. When Baker Mayfield was struggling, we talked about him all the time. Now we don't.
Yeah, it's easier because, okay, what can you say about Patrick Mahomes other than what I've already said? And Michael Irvin said, okay, he's like Steph Curry. Okay. Is somebody going to go, oh, he's not that good? No. Are we taking him for granted? I think so, because it feels like we wanted to get everybody else in the MVP conversation. You know, we're going to stretch Ben Roethlisberger into this conversation. Aaron Rodgers is still in there. Russell Wilson is still in there. We're trying to get somebody else in there. And it just feels like when it's all said and done, unless the Steelers go undefeated, that Patrick Mahomes is probably going to be your MVP. Yeah, Paul.
By the way, LeBron James, he's the eighth highest paid player in the NBA. There's seven guys who make more than him. Right now. First season.
What is his contract situation? I know that we've been talking about these guys getting a max deal and then the Greek Freak, what he's going to get.
LeBron has $41 million coming to him this year. Then he is a free agent. He has a player option.
Ooh.
Man, in 2 years, a bunch of guys are going to be making $47 million.
I know. But I wonder what LeBron would get. You know, if he re-signs with the Lakers, how long would he sign for? Can he do a series of one-year deals? Does he go, I want 50 each year? Man. Yeah, McLovin.
They should give him an extra 50 for the job he did as GM this summer. <That's by the laughs> Every headline says, man, the Lakers destroyed the offseason, just won it.
He should be asked to be paid separately as, assistant GM to Rob Pelinka. All right, a couple of phone calls here. Al in Dallas. Al, what's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. First time, long time, 5'10", 170. All right, so I got some Thanksgiving sports names. This is the NFL Defensive Line Edition.
Okay.
Going to start with J.J. Watt. Was that, Todd? Indomican, I'm so full. Hammerin' Jordan. Feathers Cox. And finally, Jagravian Clowney.
Okay. I'll give you the Jagravian Clowney there, Al. Fritzy, what'd you think?
Indomican, I'm so full. Or Indomican Sue is his name.
Indomican, I'm so full.
Yes. Okay. If I would have said that, I would have been crushed.
Oh, look who's sensitive.
Right, you only know me like 2 decades. I'm not sensitive. Well, why would I be sensitive about this?
But why do you continue to do it if you know their names aren't good?
It's just part of tradition. We've been doing this a long time. And even it's, you know what? If we get nothing else out of it and everyone thinks it's horrible what I do, the fact that other, the viewers and listeners are into it or want to make an effort to come up with their own names, that to me is enough to make it worthwhile. But they want to play along. So that's cool. Even if they crush me and they make me look like my names were not good or creative.
Yes.
I really feel that.
That's like saying if I had a car accident on the highway and all the people driving by were entertained by it as they rode by, it was worth the car crash.
I honestly feel that way. I'm glad that everyone wants to, tweet us or come on and talk about
it. And you've been giving of yourself to put up crappy names just so the audience feels entertained. We're all thankful that it's over, though. Yes,
let's keep it positive, dude.
Yes, Eden.
Speaking of the audience, we were just sent in Dallas Mavericks forward Luka Drumstick. Luka Drumstick.
The bar is really low. It is.
Don Oven Mitchell.
That's definitely better than 95% of mine.
Yes.
Kawhi, did you eat all the turkey later? Bam, Autumn Bio.
I'm just going to take my ball and go home at this point.
You're home.
To another section of the house. It's been a pretty humiliating last half hour.
How do you have sports Emmys behind you?
I don't know. I paid a lot of money.
Was that SportsCenter stuff?
They are SportsCenter. It's 2003 and 2004, I think.
Hmm. That's very nice, Todd.
But if you're willing to spend enough money and schmooze enough people, yeah, you could have one too, whatever.
Nathan in Ohio. Hi, Nathan. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Thanks for having me. 5'10", 150. I've got one Thanksgiving name. Of course, it's my favorite player married to my favorite Thanksgiving dish, AJ Green Bean Casserole.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Well, thank you, Nathan. Yeah, see.
All right.
Yeah. And see what you did, Todd?
Screeching, I ruined it for everyone.
Screeching halt. Yes.
I think Aaron Rodgers will save us.
Yes. Yes, McLeod.
All the callers have an advantage because they're not stuck between a window of 87 and 93. Like Kevin Stefanski would not be a possibility for Todd, assuming.
That's a very valid point.
Yeah.
Todd would have no idea who the Browns head coach is.
Stefanski.
You guys want to take a break?
Sure.
Sound like a good idea. We'll talk to Aaron Rodgers. He'll join us coming up. And more phone calls. Sure, why not? By the way, the Traeger Grill is fired up. We have Tuna tacos and shrimp tacos. Yes, Paul.
Yes, the chef, the IT guy, said, I want something that's the opposite of what the expectations are for Thanksgiving dinner, so he went shrimp tacos.
All right. Coming up on 17 after the hour, Aaron Rodgers next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Imagine the happiest you've ever been. Now double it. That's why we eat a Built Bar, right? Well, they're delicious. The kicker is guilt-free. Like 130 calories guilt-free, 20 grams of protein, 4 net carbs guilt-free. I know what you're thinking. So Built Bar is pretty good for a protein bar? No, no. It's more than that. It's a protein bar, and it's good for a candy bar. If you're like me, maybe COVID-19 turned into COVID-15 around the belly. Built Bar comes to the rescue. Eating a healthy snack has never been easier, tastier. They have 18 flavors. You're going to love mint brownie, coconut almond. I put a box of these out in the mailroom. And came in yesterday afternoon, and I went, I got to put out another box because somebody rifled through this. Make sure you go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code DP. You're going to get 20% off your order. But you have to go to the website, BuiltBar.com, promo code DP, for 20% off your order. BuiltBar.com, you're welcome. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at FoxSportsRadio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. Alabama's team doctor. This morning, we received notification that Coach Saban tested positive for COVID-19. He has very mild symptoms, so this test will not be categorized as a potential false positive. It goes back to a couple of weeks ago where it feels like it was a false positive, where we didn't know if he was going to be able to coach in a game, and all of a sudden, he tested negative. But this time around, the Alabama team doctor said that they received notification that Coach Saban tested positive for COVID-19. And right now they're listed as mild symptoms. Skip in Texas joins us. Hi, Skip. What's on your mind?
Hey, bud.
Hey.
So McLovin's feeling pretty good about himself today, and I wanted to take him down a peg. Just because the fans sent in a few good turkey references or whatever you call these holiday names,
yeah,
doesn't make him better than Fritz. And I wanted to complain about his REO Speedwagon comment on Monday. Obviously, he knows nothing about the band. They started in 1966 as a hard rock band. They played 14 years on tour as a hard rock band. Their best song ever is Golden Country from 1972. If you listen to it with its 4-minute guitar solo, you will understand how good they were as a rock band. In 79, Epic Labels decided they were going to drop them unless they went more mainstream. They wrote High Infidelity, thus the reputation after 1980.
All right. Well, thank you, Skip. There, McLovin, would you care to counter Skip in Texas defending the band REO Speedwagon?
No, I mean that. I mean, he really loves the band. You can't, like, it's not even funny. So I totally respect that. We all have different tastes in music.
Stay in your lane. Yeah. REO Speedwagon. 25 after the hour. Aaron Rodgers coming up. Kevin Cronin. Here he is. Is this the song that Skip was talking about?
4 minutes.
Oh, yeah, we don't want.
Golden Country.
No, no. We're good. No, I'm good right now.
Are you sure?
I like REO Speedwagon.
The album TWO.
I went to see REO Speedwagon. They had just come out with an album. You can't tune a piano, but you can tune a fish. Yes, McLovin.
That rocks a lot harder than the REO Speedwagon songs I know. I got to be honest. I'm impressed.
But did you see Ozark when they had REO Speedwagon on Ozark?
Yeah.
They were great. It was a great song. They sounded great.
They had a great run.
Yeah, I'm fine with them. McLovin's the one who made fun of REO Speedwagon. This is not my favorite kind of music, but I understand it.
There's a place for it.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah, with Styx in Chicago.
Well, no, not Chicago.
Early Chicago?
No, Chicago was Unbelievable.
You're talking Peter Cetera, Chicago.
Yeah. No, Chicago was a legendary band. Great band. This program brought to you by Mercedes-AMG. At Mercedes-AMG, giving 110% isn't just possible, it's mandatory. They squeeze every last drop of performance out of every last coupe, sedan, roadster, and SUV. Visit mbusa.com/AMG, Mercedes-AMG, driving performance. I knew we were having Aaron Rodgers on, and that State Farm guy, Jake. And it seems like, I don't know if he's natural. Let me put it that way. It seems like he might be on drugs. He might be on PEDs. Yes, Paul.
You mean the spot where Rodgers and Mahomes are there and he's in a short sleeve shirt? Yes. And he's yoked up?
Yes.
All right.
I mean, do you guys sense that? And like Jake is, I think Jake wants to be the star of State Farm. I think he's like, you know, Mahomes and Rodgers, you know, but I'm Jake from State Farm. And it just feels like they're, you know, he's wearing a pretty tight shirt there. He's Aaron Rodgers, the Packers quarterback. And let me start with that. Let me start with the obvious question. Is Jake from State Farm all natural?
I know that we didn't get drug tested during that shoot.
Yeah.
I think it's a combination of a few things that you might have seen with another guy who's worn red in the past, Tiger Woods. You know, when Tiger was in full workout mode, he may have been an XL and was wearing a large. I think Jake probably maybe a large guy, t-shirt size, wearing a medium to medium small.
It's medium.
So, yeah, it's medium.
Yeah. But you'd never do. You wouldn't stoop as low as something like that.
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, to correlate, I always enjoy like primetime games back in the day, watching our old fullback, John Kuhn. And he had a routine with one of those you know, elastic bands that he would do a lot of biceps before like a real nationally televised game, you know, right before the game to make sure that his guns were as big as possible by the time he went on the field.
Wait, he did a party pump before the game?
Oh, yeah. A lot of guys do it, though. I'm not going to just single out John. There's a lot of guys in the locker room that make sure, especially if it's a primetime game, you know, their arms are looking as good as possible by the time they go out there.
Are you more concerned with grooming on a primetime game than you would be a Sunday at 1 o'clock?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I used to be probably a little more concerned. I've let my facial hair go over the years and not really cared if I'm rocking a mustache or a beard and if the neck is shaved. Now, I can't have the same type of neck beard as a guy, you know, like Andrew Luck. You know, his is... will go down in history as legendary, but you might maybe take a second look at the nose hairs if it's going to be a primetime game compared to maybe a 12 o'clock at Lambeau.
Well, we talked about that before where they'd have that stupid camera angle where they'd be right up under, like how close is that camera right up underneath you during the anthem?
Yeah, I wasn't ever sure what angle they were going for with that because behind us is just the press box. So I was wondering why you would have to, you know, insist on going at that angle, but it is what it is. That's kind of the league that we've grown up in. It's more access, the better for the fans.
And you also have to mouth the words of the anthem if the camera's on you, don't you?
I've seen guys do that before. I never really did that. But yeah, it's more of a, you know, when the camera kind of gets in position, you got to make sure you have the face you want showing. You can't look, you know, weird or anything. You got to make sure that, you know, your game face is ready once that camera comes to you. It's that red light on you. Just go.
He's Aaron Rodgers joining us on the program. Did you watch the Monday night game?
I did not.
Is that normal that, unless it's an opponent, future opponent, they're not interested?
No, I mean, I'm interested. It just depends on my schedule and how I'm feeling. We had a longer travel to get back. We got back, you know, playing the afternoon game against Indy. Got back about 10:15 or so Sunday. So I try and get to bed a little earlier on Monday and just kind of relax during the day. So I didn't stay up and watch it.
I never knew this, and maybe you can help me separate fact from fiction. According to league sources, Packers Raiders were very close on a deal that would have sent you to Oakland and Randy Moss to Green Bay instead of Moss traded to New England during 2007, and you stayed, of course, in Green Bay. Is that true?
I'm not sure if it's true or not. I do know that during that time, I remember where I was at. I was on the 26 in Portland, Oregon, with a friend of mine, a couple of friends of mine, longtime friends from when I was a kid and lived up in Oregon, and got a call from Ted Thompson. And Ted wanted to reassure me that nothing was going on and I wasn't going anywhere. So there were definitely some rumors at the time.
But doesn't that call make you nervous that there was something going on for him to call you to say, don't worry about hearing about anything?
Not necessarily, Dan, just because, I believe it was before, was it 06 or before 07?
It says that Moss was traded to the Patriots during the 07 NFL draft, and then that you...
Okay, this was the spring of 2007, or like the end of 2006, beginning of 2007. So I was still a backup. So, you know,
okay,
if I was traded, at that time, you know, it probably wouldn't have been the worst thing, because I was thinking Brett's going to play a few more years, and if I get traded, that means I might be the guy right away. So it wasn't like the, you know, when his number came up, wasn't, oh, man, like, what does this mean? It was like, oh, okay, well, I guess we'll get to the bottom of this right now.
Because you were probably 24 at the time. Probably right around.
Yeah, just turned 23, actually.
Okay. And, you know, you start to look at, you know, when and how much do you read or listen to anything? Like, honestly, like if ESPN comes on, do you care if they're going to go, let's look at the Colts and the Packers? Or you turn the channel?
I don't really watch that channel. I mean, it's never on at the house unless I'm watching Monday Night Football and the sound is off. So I'm just not watching. Now, I will say this. Maybe if Kenny Mayne is on and Kenny and I have talked and he's going to say something funny on SportsCenter, I might switch over if he's doing the late SportsCenter. So I will admit that, but because I love Kenny. But really, unless Tom here at the Packers gives me a heads up, I don't see a lot of the stuff. You know, or a friend of mine might say, hey, did you see what, you know, was written? No. What? Should I look at it? You know, they might send it over, but...
Would you rather read or hear something that was negative or something positive? Like learn something that might be considered negative or have somebody just say something, you know, verbal bouquets about you?
Oh, I mean, I don't think anybody needs to... at this point, I don't need to pump myself up with some puff pieces and you know, spend time reading and stuff like that. And I don't, you know, care a whole lot about anything on the other side of it, really. I mean, you know, there's a job to do for those people. I've railed at times about how I think that the, you know, the shock journalism with the, you know, the clickbait headlines kind of rules the, especially the online media. But
do you care about legacy?
Yeah, of course.
Do you care where you're ranked all time or how people view you as, you know, on the all-time list of quarterbacks? Does that interest you?
Not really. Not at this point. No, I don't think so. I think the eras are so different. I think a lot of people maybe think about those things a little more with LeBron winning another championship and trying to compare him to Michael to Wilt and Kareem and Russell and, you know, all the great players of all time. It's just tough to compare generations. So I don't get into that a whole lot. My legacy to me is more about like what kind of player I was, what kind of teammate I was, you know, how I was the organization, the community. That stuff's more important.
And also when you assess quarterbacks now, like everybody's going to throw for 60,000-70,000, it feels like. Whereas Joe Montana or John Elway, it was just different back then. If you threw 30 touchdowns, you had a hell of a season. Now, if you don't throw 30, it's almost like you're pedestrian here. How do you think the Hall of Fame voters will be able to sort this out with quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see how they do it, because I've felt like that for the most part, it's been fairly standard with what gets guy in now with the longevity and guys, you know, and the numbers being bigger than what they were in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. And when I really got into football, especially in the 80s and 90s, and the defenses and the offenses were different. The game was different and the rules were slightly different. I still think that there should be a standard based on being the best of your position. You know, I'm saying top three to maybe top five for an extended amount of years. You know, it's a consistency being one of those top three guys, I think, at the position for multiple years in a row for large stretches of your career. I think that should be kind of the standard. I think there's places for, you know, guys who've had amazing longevity and put up amazing numbers. But I still think the majority of the guys, it should be, you know, you dominate your position, you know, one of the three to five best guys for, you know, a decade or for an extended period of time. That should kind of get you in.
I don't know what is protocol, but you spent probably 5 minutes with Philip Rivers on Sunday. Like, you actually had a conversation with him. What are you supposed to do post-game? You know, what is protocol with two quarterbacks after a game?
I think it just depends. Depends on how well you know the guy, or how you feel about him, or how you feel about seeing anybody after the game. You know, we lost, obviously, a difficult one there in overtime, coming back, tying it, getting the ball back, and turning it over, and then and losing. I really like Phil. I've known him for a while, here and there, and known him from afar, you know, watching him play, and have a ton of respect for him. And I just, you know, if the conversation's easy, you stick around. And that's, it was good to, you know, just pay my respects. And
well, you can't ask him about his kids, because then you'll be there for a half hour. He's got like 9 or 10 of them.
Well, it's funny, because I said, hey, you guys working on number 9 yet? He said, we already had 9. That's amazing.
Where man. Have you been? Come on.
Oh, yeah, behind. I thought 8 was the last one, and maybe he got skipped or something.
Aaron Rodgers is a smart guy. He's using FedEx, and he's getting his offensive linemen their holiday gifts early this year. New Traeger grills. I've been a Traeger guy for years, and we love the Traeger grill. I think I have 6 Traeger grills out in our barbecuing area, but FedEx.com/holiday guide. So your linemen know what you're getting them.
Yeah, you know, last couple of years, at times, there's been some gifts that maybe didn't arrive on Christmas, maybe not even until the springtime for a couple of guys. It actually worked out great to partner with FedEx, so I could, you know, shop for those things and then ship them and get them early. You know, it's before even Thanksgiving, which for me is easily a record. But I'm excited to, you know, take care of those guys. And, you know, FedEx has been a great partner, and it's fun to get those guys the gifts early so they can use them for Thanksgiving.
Is the gift better when you're better? Like when you're like when you were MVP, one of those MVP seasons, the gift's better that year?
I don't think so, actually. I think it's only been the last 7 or 8 years where the gifts have been really, really good. So
what do they get you?
Every now and then they might give me a bottle of scotch.
Wait, is that what you were drinking on draft night, scotch or tequila?
I was drinking tequila. I mixed it up a little bit. I like scotch, bourbon, and some sipping tequila that a friend of mine got me on. So it was tequila that night.
Did you put more in it when the Packers were on the clock or after the Packers were off the clock?
I would say after, probably.
Yeah.
But I didn't, to my credit, I didn't refill. I started with a strong 4, so I didn't have to refill.
I can just imagine you there, that you're, you know, you got tequila there and the Packers, and they're going to take a wide receiver here. Of course we are. And the Packers take Jordan Love. Did you know they were taking him prior to the pick?
No, I found out.
Just like we did?
About 5 seconds before the layaway.
We made a t-shirt for you. Last call with a tumbler, and we sent it over to the facilities. I don't know if you get the t-shirts that we make that we send over to the facilities there.
They hold them in a secret vault, so I'll
they do.
Try and find the key.
I don't know if they're worth that. Once again, FedEx.com/holiday guide, and do what Aaron Rodgers did. He's doing it early with FedEx, delivering his offensive lineman holiday gifts, the new Traeger grills. Great to see you again. Hope you're well. Enjoy listening to you with McAfee, and thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, buddy. Good to see you.
Aaron Rodgers, you can send your gifts via FedEx.com/holiday guide, just like Aaron Rodgers. Got him Traeger grills. Had I known that, I would have helped him. I would have hooked him up with a good deal with Traeger. I mean, he's got dough, but I could have helped him. Maybe we could have thrown in some wood pellets. Or
the Rogers rate, as they say.
Oh, yeah. For Traeger. Does Traeger have the Rogers rate there as well? All right. Last call for phone calls. What we learn, what's in store. Well, I don't know. We're not back until Monday. But we'll take a break. We're back after. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Close up shop as we always do. Little Arcade Fire. And my thanks to you, the audience. I hope you feel as connected to us as we do to you. And thank you for your support all of these years. To finish that comment, thank you. When we started doing this 13 years ago, when we went out on our own, and I didn't know what we had, but I quickly found out we had a loyal audience that was going to stay with us, that, and you listen for a long period of time. When in radio, you want to see how long somebody stays with you, and this is as loyal of an audience, if not more so, than anybody in this business has. So I'm very fortunate, thankful for the Danettes all these years, that they believed me when they probably shouldn't have, when I said, come with me, and I promise you we'll succeed. But we have, and the great people behind the scenes who make this work every single day, and some you know and some you don't, I say thank you to them as well, with Mario and the big German, the French kid, Rob the intern, Dan G, our three-on-three basketball announcer, Alan B, who is the IT guy and our chef, and Marvin as well. There's not a lot of us, but we do a lot of different things. And, of course, Weeks, our cameraman as well, and Tyler, the creator, who handles Chat Row. Hopefully I haven't left out anybody. Dylan. Dylan. I usually leave out Dylan, and he's a mess, but he's our mess, and I love Dylan. He's great.
He doesn't own socks. He's a grown man who doesn't own a pair of socks.
And he does our graphics. He went from getting breakfast for us to doing graphics. You can move up the ladder real quickly here on the Dan Patrick Show. One day you're going to get breakfast. Next thing you know, you're punching in things on TV. And the big German's now our director. So, you know, we've done it, but thank you for your patience with it and also your support through all the years there. Let me see. Final results of the poll question, McLovin.
What are you going to watch this weekend? It's still the Steelers-Raven, but The Crown Season 4 is moving up fast.
Just saw this, that the great soccer player, Diego Maradona, has passed away. He had a heart attack. I think he underwent brain surgery not too long ago, and just 60 years of age. But that was a life lived for 60 years, and had not been in good health on and off probably the last 15 years. I saw the documentary on him, and, you know, he was a phenomenon. It wasn't a big window, but he had as important, if not the most important, goal in World Cup history. I think it was voted that when Argentina won. Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, 86 World Cup, Argentina won, led by Maradona. He had two goals against England. The hand of God goal is the one everyone is the controversy one, but a few minutes later, he did about a 70-yard run that was voted the World Cup goal, best goal ever in World Cup history.
And Seton brought this up as well, just the impact that Maradona had on younger soccer players, you know, just playing high school or you're playing grade school, that you get signature names, you know, with a move that you make with certain. I remember the bicycle kick with Pele that people always, you know, would talk about. Oh, you did a Pele? And Maradona had one of those signature moves.
Yeah, it's like kids, when they're starting to learn, you have to learn all of these moves, and like you learn the Cruyff, and you learn these things. But one of the favorite ones is a Maradona, where it's sort of the spin move where you touch the ball with both feet. And it's really impressive when you're a kid and can do it, and every kid wants to do it. And every, oh, did you see me Maradona, that kid? It's a it's a big one, for sure.
Diego Maradona, dead at the age of 60. Let me see. Anything else that needs to be? I did see the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the 25 modern era semifinalists there. We'll talk about this a little bit more in detail next week. There's a couple of players that I've been big fans of to make it. Tony Boselli is somebody. Rodney Harrison, to me, when you have at least 30 sacks and at least 30 interceptions and the only other player in the Super Bowl era to do something like that, might be all time, is Ray Lewis. Won a couple of Super Bowls as well. Had the opportunity to work with him on Football Night in America. Peyton Manning, obviously, is on there. John Lynch is back on there. Clay Matthews, Richard Seymour, Fred Taylor of the Jacksonville Jaguars, Hines Ward, Zach Thomas. I don't know if Zach Thomas has enough there, but I will say, when I remember interviewing Peyton Manning to say, give me the defensive player who knows what you're thinking, he said, Zach Thomas. He goes, I go to line of scrimmage, I'd call something, Zach would say, look out for thee, and then I'd change the play, and then Zach would go, look out for, and he goes, he knew what I was thinking. And something to be said for that, as great as he was. He was NFL All-Decade Team of the 2000s. Charles Woodson is going into the Hall of Fame eventually. Patrick Willis, always a big fan of the Niners. He was Rookie of the Year, and I don't know if he played long enough, but Patrick Willis, when he was playing great, was certainly played like a Hall of Famer. But there's 25 modern era semifinalists on that list. This day in sports history, Paulie, what do you have?
Thanksgiving Day, 1976, O.J. Simpson ran for then record 273 yards against the Detroit Lions. And then in 2002, here's one, Pete Rose and Commissioner Bud Selig met secretly to discuss Pete Rose's lifetime ban from baseball. At that meeting, Pete Rose says he was informed that it would not be a lifetime ban if he agreed with all the things that baseball set forward.
And it's a shame. Pete, if he gets in, will be posthumously. I've felt that all along. Having covered that story when I first got to ESPN, knowing that I bet through one of his bookies in Cincinnati, lived in Indian Hills. And then I also bet with the other bookie that bookie would, you know, offload some of his bets onto. And so I knew exactly what was going on. I knew a lot more about that situation. And, of course, growing up as a Reds fan, it was pretty tough to be covering Pete Rose in that light. Hall of Famer manager Tommy Lasorda is still hospitalized, but his condition has improved. He's 93 years of age. He's been taking calls from former players and coaches at the hospital in Orange County. So our best to Tommy. Let's go around the room. What we learned on the program. I'll start with you, Todd.
Charles Barkley says Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant have thinner skin than Flat Stanley. Good luck to them with the New York media.
McLovin, what did you learn today?
I learned about the Seahawks quarterback, Russell Sprouts Wilson, and no gatherings for Thanksgiving, Smith.
Seton O'Connor.
I learned that, well, up until that moment, Andrew has solved the riddle that is Thanksgiving names and holiday names.
Yes. Salvage it. Paulie?
Depth chart Christmas names is in our future.
What we learned brought to you by Built Bar. 18 amazing flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, and their protein bars. Some of my favorites. Go to BuiltBar.com, enter the promo code DP, 20% off your purchase. Thanks for joining us, not only today, every day, every week. And have yourself a great Thanksgiving. Look forward to talking to you again on Monday. For all of us here, happy Thanksgiving.